City staff presented the results of their review of bylaws regulating property standards to council this month, following a directive from council's November 14th meeting. That motion, put forth by Councillor Hazan, asked staff to identify opportunities to improve public awareness, understanding, and potential refinements to enhance property standards requirements, while ensuring the city does not become unnecessarily involved in private disputes between neighbors. While staff found the existing bylaws to be effective overall, they did present three general areas for improvement, including public education and communication, clarification of enforcement thresholds, and administrative modernization to improve consistency and transparency. The original motion was in part driven by ongoing complaints councillors reported receiving from citizens about the impact of certain property conditions on neighboring properties. These complaints include concerns over exterior property maintenance, overgrown vegetation, fencing disputes, drainage issues, and what they describe as accumulation of materials and visual disorder concerns. The city maintains several bylaws intended to support safe, clean, and respectful neighborhoods, including property standards, yards, nuisance and community standards bylaws, and building code enforcement, which is under provincial authority. Further to this, the city offers a Good Neighbor Guide, which provides an overview of municipal services, expectations, and enforcement processes, including an outline of the bylaw enforcement policy. Under provincial legislation, municipalities may regulate standards for maintenance and occupancy, but must remain within prescribed authority. This means that matters such as property line encroachments, civil trespass, or purely aesthetic disagreements between neighbors typically fall outside municipal jurisdiction and into private civil law. This is a distinction that staff argue is critical to maintain in order to manage legal risk and use enforcement resources appropriately. While staff notes that the majority of the property-related complaints received by enforcement services do involve maintenance standards clearly defined in bylaws, they also indicate that many complaints involve neighbor disputes framed as bylaw complaints, where the complainant is not aware of the thresholds required for enforcement action. The regulations themselves can be complicated, with property standards enforcement occupying a gray area in between municipal regulation, provincial legislation, and private civil relationships. Staff identified several awareness gaps in their existing Good Neighbors Guide as well, such as a limited understanding of what qualifies as a property standard violation, the misconception that the city can intervene in all neighbor conflicts, and a general lack of clarity on timelines and the amount of proof needed to make a tangible claim. The report highlighted common complaints that are not within the city's scope of power, such as aesthetic disagreements, personal conflicts between neighbors, and interpersonal tenant-landlord conflicts, noting the importance of distinguishing between bylaw issues and those governed by the Residential Tenancies Act. One notable talking point at council came from the report's statement on vegetation maintenance provisions, including regulations related to long grass and weeds. The report states that the city cannot compel aesthetic conformity where no health or safety issue exists, meaning complaints must address objective concerns related to health, safety, pest control, fire risk, and the general maintenance of neighborhood environments. Municipalities often provide a clear threshold for vegetation height or the accumulation of weeds to ensure properties are maintained at a minimum standard, but these regulations are not intended to dictate aesthetic preferences, but rather to address objective conditions that may increase safety hazards, pest infestation, or fire concerns. Councillor Tozo requested clarification on what constitutes an unkempt lawn.
One of the questions I've asked about is the vegetation maintenance and freedom of expression considerations. So I guess a question I have, because I've dealt with this a lot in my district lately, is when is a lawn unkempt? And when is it a freedom of expression? And what objective measures does the city use?
I can confirm that the city's enforcement practices are focused on objective health and safety concerns, particularly around fire risk. And the city enforces its bylaw in a way that's intended to minimally impair the property owner's right to expressive conduct and focuses purely on objective health and safety issues. If the concerns are purely aesthetic in nature and are subjective, the city doesn't enforce its bylaws in a way that would impair someone's right to freedom of expression through gardening. So our bylaw officers will investigate and they'll assess whether there are health and safety risks associated with that property. There may be other property standards concerns that arise as a result of the unkempt yard, such as rodent infestation, for example, and there are other avenues for enforcement to address those types of issues.
Further to this, staff referenced laws around expressive activity on private property, noting assertions from property owners that naturalized yards, pollinated gardens, or intentionally unmanaged vegetation represents a form of expression protected under Section 2B of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, an argument that has stood up in Ontario courts.
We do have the benefit of two Ontario Superior Court of Justice decisions on this topic now, where the courts have held that naturalized lawns have been recognized in certain circumstances as a protected form of expression. So there was a decision in Mississauga this year where the court declared that Mississauga's restrictions on grass height were unconstitutional because they infringed on the property owner's freedom of expression. They view gardening to be a form of expressive conduct that is protected under the charter.
Councillor Tozo asked if the city could communicate this better with residents.
Could we inform the public a bit better that this is a charter-related issue? Because I've had some really interesting conversations with constituents that the property owner next door has a charter-protected right to leave their lawn unmaintained. I'm hoping staff can appreciate, as a councillor, this is a really challenging thing to explain to constituents.
It's very difficult to provide definitive information to residents on this issue. As you can imagine, every circumstance is going to be entirely fact-specific in terms of whether charter rights have been invoked and or infringed upon. We could certainly provide information to council on the 2026 decision, but we would not want to definitively state that we no longer have an ability to enforce our bylaws.
Councillor Shaves expressed his concern with the existing bylaw and proposed license and registration options for those who may wish to naturalize their lawns, receiving clarification from Kyle Compo, Director Licensing Enforcement for the City of Kingston, and Commissioner Agnew.
I know when we first sort of changed this bylaw, it was to help allow individuals to have naturalized front yards. I also believe that a number of people don't know we've changed this bylaw to allow this, so either they're just not maintaining it unintentionally, or they're using this as a loophole. Maybe how we can sort of close this down and define this and allow people to naturalize and use their charter rights is maybe doing something similar to what the fire department does with their fire pit permits, that they could register through the licensing or bylaw, so then they could have a permit, and if the bylaw received a complaint, they could just look it up and going, no, it's already been approved, it's fine. And if anyone doesn't have their permit, then they'd be asked to cut the grass or get a permit.
There's a lot to unpack with that one. We came to administrative policies last year when we amended the yards bylaw. That was consultation with the naturalized lawn associations. We did lots of public engagement for that, and we did outreach after the fact. We did public engagement. In terms of the registry, I do think that is something that we can look at. I would be just conscious of the fact that the way the bylaw is written right now is around health and safety, and we have the prohibited plants list. In terms of the registry itself, I think it would be somewhat difficult because registry comes back to the staff have done review, that they've had an intake, they're reviewing the types of plants that are involved, and our officers aren't trained in terms of that. But it is something that we can explore. I'm not saying it can't be.
We haven't been able to assess this from a staff resourcing or like a feasibility perspective. So I'd be hesitant to suggest that we go with a program like that at this point. I think it's something we can explore at council's direction, but we do need time to properly assess whether we could do it effectively, what the resource implications would be given all of the other priorities we have right now for the enforcement team. But we wouldn't be able to be back with any information on that for, you know, some months, I would say, based on the rest of the priorities we're trying to complete right now.
The report recognized that complaints relating to lawn grass and vegetation frequently camouflage personal disputes and generally fall outside the city's regulatory authority. In addition to better education of residents, the report recommended communication improvements between complainants and bylaw officers to ensure that enforcement actions are perceived as fair, transparent, and focused on objective standards. Councillor Osanek asked staff for a timeline for implementation of these recommendations.
We've already started to implement some of these processes, especially with the communication to our property standards officers on how they're communicating back to the public on certain complaints or to update feedback. We have implemented our callback cards so that when we're going to door to door, we're really trying to focus on providing that relationship with how you contact a bylaw officer, making that more apparent, how to specifically get a hold of that officer. So we're working on the city website to provide more clear information.
So is some of that enhanced communication with the person who made the complaint, like to educate them about what the city can do and can't do?
Yes, so we hear that quite often as well, that this case is still under review. We can't provide any additional feedback. We understand the frustration that that causes. There are some legal components to that that we can't disclose where things are in terms of the case, but we're also understanding of where the community's frustration is for that. So we're working on providing, again, more information on what we can provide, what we can't provide, and trying to pick up the phone, call the complainant, and have that personal touch as well to have those conversations.
Moving forward, staff hopes that enhanced public education initiatives, including updates to the city's website, the Good Neighbor Guide, and targeted communication materials, will address common areas of confusion and improve overall understanding of property standards requirements.